Title this morning is The Glory of God, Part 5. The Glory of God, Part 5, September 16th, 2011. Now, I didn't bring up September 11th last week for a purpose because I don't celebrate September 11th. What's there to celebrate? A loss of life. But we're stronger than that. We're more powerful than that. And what we're seeing in our nation today is a reaction of God's glory still upon the United States of America. Even though we've turned our back a little bit towards God, even though we've not been completely bought in to one nation under God the way it used to be. It didn't say one nation under several gods. It said one nation under God. Amen? Amen. But the glory of God is still going to hit the United States. The glory of God is still in this place. Amen? We're still Christians and we're going to be looked at differently because there's something that you have that the world is seeking, the world is desiring, and the world wants, but they don't know how to tap into it. But you have the answer. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about this series of the glory of God. And in the past weeks we discussed the importance of seeking the glory or His presence. And this week we're going to look at a little bit more about His glory. And we said this for the last 4 weeks. I'm going to say it again. When God created the earth, He used His own spirit or glory to form the invisible into the visible. He used sound waves. Then He said, "Let there be light." When God spoke, He spoke faith-filled words. See, there's a progression. That you got to have the Spirit of God hovering over your situation, and then when you speak the things, and you speak to them in faith, or faith-filled words, those are now words. Hope is something in the future, but faithful words, faith words that are now words. And then when He spoke it, and then He believed it, then these items came into existence. So what we need to do as Christians, in order to activate the glory of God, we've got to have the glory of God mushroom cloud around us all the time. Then we've got to speak to our situations while we're in the glory of God. And when we speak to those, we've got to really believe and use faith-filled words. Not, I'm hoping. It's got to be, I have faith that God's going to move this mountain. God's going to transform my situation. God's going to do something for me. Amen? And then you're going to start seeing things happen in your life. See, in the glory realm, there's no such thing as a time frame. God's not in a rush. We're in a rush. We're on a time frame. God's not. Amen? God's timing is always perfect. And when you speak things into, you allow God to create things that you're speaking. So when you speak the things, if you say, I'm always sick, guess what you're always going to be? I'm always broke. I got no money. I'm always broke. I got no money. Guess what you're always going to be? Broke with no money. So start speaking those things into existence. Amen. Maybe you've never owned a home before. Maybe you need to start driving in some neighborhoods that you'd like to live in. Maybe you need to go look at the model home and say, oh, wow, I like that. I can see me in this house. Start building up your atmosphere and do that in front of God. Walk through that place and say, God, this isn't too big for me. This is a nice place. Amen. Start speaking things into existence. Amen. See, the greater the glory, the quicker things happen in your life. We discussed the last couple weeks that we can reap the glory of God by sowing violently. We also said that faith is now and hope is in the future tense. If you hope for something, it's still there, but it's out there in the future. Why don't you just call that stuff in now? Amen. God's word said that we would experience reaping where we didn't sow. I like that. There's some things that are going to come our way that I didn't sow into, but God, I'm going to reap some good stuff. Somebody else built that home for me. Somebody else had built that building. Somebody else has gotten some things in place for the church to receive. God wants you so blessed that people will take notice, and then when they take notice, that you'll be the person that will draw them to Christ. You'll be the one that says, the reason why I'm so blessed is because of the Jesus in my life. Let me share with you about my best friend. See, when the glory shines in your life, presidents, kings, governors, mayors, and people of influence will seek you out. There's something about you. See, people of influence will come to you because you have a word or a solution from God. And it only takes one word from God to change the whole situation around. And people of influence, they always rule by giving direction. Maybe you're the person that gives that person that word that changes a city, a nation, a business. Why are they going to find you? Because there's something about you. They see something, a glory cloud over you. They see that there's things in your life when distractions come and life happens, you don't get distracted or all upset about it. So we're going to take a look at what the Word has to say. And we're going to get into it this morning. And we're going to grow as Christians. We're going to receive all that God has to say. If you'll just take one moment and stand for the reading of the Word, we're going to look at Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, or the glory of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' but nothing happened." Right? The Spirit was hovering, and God said, "Oh, let there be light," and it was still pitch black outside. Right? No. The Bible says, "And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." God spoke those words in faith, believed it, and didn't wait to hoping it would happen. He said, "Let there be light now." And there was light. We have to command our life the same way God. If you want godly results, do it God's way. Lord, bless this service. Bless this time. Lord, have your way with us this morning. Let us hear with your spiritual ears so transformation can take place in our lives. Let us be different than the way we walked in. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can be seated if you can. Now, the glory brings things into existence. The glory of God brings deliverance. I want to talk about this for a second. One characteristic of the glory of God, and Elijah carried this, was the deliverance glory. Okay? And when God, when the glory of God appeared, deliverance happened quickly. Deliverance can be deliverance from drugs, alcohol, it could be demons, it could be a combination of, you know, a lot of things. It could be deliverance from your laziness, it could be deliverance from headaches, it could be whatever. But when the glory shows up, deliverance can take place. And when you understand the glory, that time does not really exist. God is not constrained or have any constraints of time. I want to show you something in the Bible, because as I was spending time with God, He was sharing with me is that sometimes we get in a hurry. I've had pastors tell me, "Well, you've been in church 9 years and you only got X amount of people." And I says, "Yeah, you've been in church 10 years and you have 4 church splits." I haven't had one of those. God's not in a hurry. We might be. We might be. We want everything like instant pudding. We put it in, we want, yeah, you got minute rice now, right? 90 seconds, you got some rice. Amen? God's not in a hurry. Sometimes God wants us to stir up some stuff, and sometimes it takes some time, because God's not constrained by time. Take a look at 2 Peter 3:8. I want to help you this morning. Because when the glory shows up, things change in your life. 2 Peter 3:8. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 3:8. This is the New King James Version. It says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I said, "Lord, man, that seems like a thousand seems like a long time." He says, "Compare that to eternity. It's only a second." See, we're going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you look at 1,000 years, it's only going to look like a second. Our lives only may last, we only might live till we're 80 or 90 or 110. Amen? That's just a second in God's eyes. But what are we doing during that time? See, we want some things instantly, and we want some successes, and we want the growth of the church, and we want the growth of people like that. And I said, Lord, how do we get it? He says, it's in my Bible. When the glory shows up, acceleration takes place. Shout with me this morning, the glory is an accelerator. God will change things up that took years and do it in seconds. See, when you're in the glory of God, when you're working His Word, when you are in the presence of God Almighty, it accelerates things in your life. There's more that can get done in a short period of time. The things that you've been working on for 1,000 years is going to be just like one day. Let me ask you a question. You're going to like this. This is quiz time. If you had a tumor or you had cancer in your body and you walked into heaven, how long would it take for you to be healed? Right answer. Why? Because you're in the glory in heaven. You're in the glory in heaven. Take a look at Matthew 6:10. I'm going to correlate something. I want you to, your head's going to pop off here in about 10 seconds. You're going to go, oh my God. New King James Version, glory, the Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in what? Wait. Your glory come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, there is the glory of God that exists. Come on now. The glory of God exists in heaven. But He just said in this scripture that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are we waiting around for? Why are we so delayed and slow in moving towards the things of God? He just said that if you had cancer or sickness or disease and you walked into the gates of heaven right now, you would be healed instantly. We all agreed to that. Because the glory of God is in heaven, but the glory of God can be on earth. You can pull the things from heaven and bring those things down to earth. And when the things happen and they come to earth, things happen instantly, suddenly. Now, that's why I said when you get in the glory, acceleration takes place. That means something happens now. We ain't waiting around 1,000 years. It's going to be like right now, one day. See how this ties in? Do you see why I'm a little excited? That when you're in the glory, sickness, disease, and deliverance takes place. That's what the Bible says. One day in His presence. Why don't we have every day in His presence? Why don't we walk like we have heaven on earth? You can have it. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. You can have heaven on earth. Doesn't it say, on heaven as it is, you are, what will be done on earth will is in heaven. Well, if heaven has the glory, I want to have the glory on this earth. I want to have all that God wants me to have. I want my children, highly favored and blessed. So I asked God, how do we get there? He says, well, you stay in my glory, but their way to get to my glory is to worship the Lord. No one wants to worship Him when you're going through something. Well, I got a cold. I don't want to worship God. Well, that worship is the thing which will be the medicine that gets you into the glory, which gets you the instant healing, and your sickness and disease has to go. Because it's just like you're walking into heaven on earth. True worship leads to the glory in the presence of God. It is God's response to worship is His glory. This morning, the glory of God fell in this place this morning. He can do what he wants. I don't have to do anything. I just sit and just let him do what he wants to do. He'll touch your mind. He'll drop some stuff into your mindset to help you. He'll give you direction. He'll give you clarity. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. See, the less that you're filled with his glory, the longer it takes to cast out darkness or ever see deliverance. So it's best that we start to operate in the glory zone. We start to operate where his presence is. We get there by worshiping him, praising him, even in the test and the trial. Why? Because when his glory shows up, situations begin to change now. Things that have bothered you for years will get fixed in seconds in the glory zone. The less glory that you have in your life leads you to more trying harder and doing things in your own strength. You ever been there? Trying to do it in your own strength? Why? Because you have less glory. The more glory you have in your life, the less you have to worry about. God just takes care of it. You don't have to do anything. The angels show up. The glory brings power in your life. See, people say, I want this power of God. And you know, you see people that are Satanists, they want the power of their God, which is the devil. Amen. You see people that are psychics. They're using, quote, unquote, a higher power. They're connecting, but they're using it for the wrong purpose. Now, if they can tap into it, why can't we? And we know the truth. I'm not saying go have a seance. But what I'm saying is you can tap into the glory of God. And when you're in his glory, in his presence, things change. Has to. Can't be the same. He has to rearrange some stuff. Should I need the power? In my life. Take a look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. What happens when you get into the glory of God, when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, but when you have the glory of God and you're in his presence all the time? Something happens. And the Bible's clear about this in Acts 1:8. It says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive what? When what? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and Samaria, and at the ends of the earth, in Henderson, in Las Vegas, in Sin City, in my job, at the limo business, in my sales business, in this and this and that. You shall be a witness for me. In whatever you do, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Here's the advantage. Those that don't know God, don't have the Holy Spirit, they got no power over you. Think about that. Well, that person's got a lot of power. They have a position, but if they don't know Christ, they have no power. They may have all the money and think they have control, but guess what? They don't have Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Guess what? They got no power, because the power comes only when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, takes residence in you. He's your guide. He's your conscience, per se, and you speak to God spirit to spirit. Without him, what can you hear? Think about that. I've met Christians that say, "Well, I don't need the Holy Spirit in my life." Okay. And you got no power. How can you even hear? I hear from God, but I don't need the Holy Spirit. How do you hear from God if you don't have a Holy Spirit living inside of you? The only way you can communicate to God is spirit to spirit. He's going to give you all the plays and all the moves so you score a touchdown every time you receive the ball. See, the glory brings you power. Jesus had thousands of angels at his disposal. Did you realize that? When he was in the garden and they went to arrest him, he could have called the legion of angels and wiped them all out like that. Do you realize that you have the same angels? You have the same. A legion of angels is between 3,000 to 6,000 at your beck and call, day and night, 24 hours, 7 days a week. But if you're not in the glory zone, if you're not in the glory of God, you can't call upon him. Why? Because you've got no power. You have no access. You don't have the key that opens up the door. See, we have the army of angels surrounding us. All we got to do is call upon them. But see, we forget that they're there because we're doing it in our own strength, because we're walking in darkness, because we don't have the Spirit of God hovering over our situations. Amen? And we find it doing our own way, and we find out that it doesn't work too well. See, the key for us is to stay in His glory, in His secret place. Take a look at Psalms 91:1. The Bible says this in Psalms 91:1. That he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells. Dwelling means you're going to spend some time. I have a home where I dwell. In that home, I sleep in my bed where I dwell for 5 or 6 or 8 hours that I get every day. Amen? Do we dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Because if we do, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we stay under His covering, we stay under His glory. The key for us is to constantly, always be pressing forth and being in His glory. Why? Because when we're in His glory, things are accelerated. Protection's around you. Amen? Deliverance takes place. Those bad habits start to go away a lot quicker, and you're not have to be stressed about it. Amen? I remember when I got saved, I mean, I knew that I used to like to drink a lot, and I had a craving for it. But it's funny, when the glory of God hit my life and I had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, I never ever had another desire for alcohol again. It's been 22 years. Never ever had another craving for a marijuana cigarette. Just didn't. Why? Because I understood that the glory came upon, and it was so powerful that whatever I was struggling with, and I wanted to give up this and give it, and then when I got the glory coming upon, it accelerated, and I didn't have that problem anymore. I wasn't concerned about it anymore. See, you all have the power of God that dwells amongst you when you have the Holy Spirit. Take a look at the last scripture. I think it's Matthew 10:1. See, we've got to stay under the covering of the Almighty. We've got to abide with Him. We've got to spend some time with Him. What happens as Christians, we don't spend enough time with the Father. I mean, if Jesus was walking this earth right now, I think you'd take some time off of work to spend some time with Him, wouldn't you? I mean, if He came to your house, I think as long as He wanted to stay, I would be there. I don't think I'd make it to where I'd have to be calling in not sick. And I wouldn't call in tired. I'd just say, hey, I'm with my best friend, and I don't know how long he's going to stay or how he's going to go, but you're not my source. God is. So I'm going to be hanging with him as long as I need, until he needs to go visit somebody else. Amen? We need to be serious about spending time. We need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now, Matthew 10:1 says this, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, even though one of them was a rat fink who was going to turn him in, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal most of the sicknesses and most of the diseases that came their way. Isn't that what it said? Isn't that what your Bible says? You got the new jacked up version? The new world version? That God can heal only when, that was for the past days. I mean, that's what the new world says, the new age. Healing was for the past. Really? No, he says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Huh. And to heal all, so he didn't leave anything out, all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Jesus has given us the same power, and it's the Holy Spirit that sustains it in each and one of us. See, these 12 We're in the glory of God all the time. That's why miracles, signs, and wonders broke loose. Jesus gave them access, as he's given us access to the legions of angels. All we got to do is make some room for them in our lives. We just got to make a little room. We can hang out with 3,000, 6,000 angels. It's all good. It ain't tight in here. It's all good. So we need to learn as Christians to operate in the glory room. We must allow the angels to be encamped around us to do the work on our behalf. This morning, as the glory was present, I was going to go lay hands on you. The Lord said, stop. I said, Lord, I'm just going to go walk down the aisles and lay hands. He says, you don't have to. I have angels encamped around here this morning. I'll lay hands on your people. I'll deal with their circumstance. I'll deal with their situation. I'll handle it. So I let him handle it. See, in the glory realm, you don't have to be the one doing all the doing. God will send his angels that are encamped around to get it done for us. Amen? You want to get into the glory of God? You want to usher into his presence? You can do that through fasting and praying. Oh, Pastor, I got to give up a meal. What? How about a whole bunch? Now, I know I get yelled at from many pastors because I say fasting is just not food. Fasting may be something that you really like to do and want to do, but you got to give it up for a period of time. Maybe that TV show you like to watch for 2 hours on Monday and Tuesday night. I love to watch it. You know, it breaks the monotony and I watch fools on TV. But maybe you take those 2 hours and fast that and spend 2 hours in his presence. Maybe you have to fast some food. When you fast, what you're doing is you're telling your flesh no. And when your flesh gets in the way of things, it screws things up. So when you fast and pray, you get breakthrough into the glory realm at an accelerated pace. See, we all want something from God now, but we're not willing to do anything to get there. We're not willing to sacrifice some of our time that we would want to do for our own good to go and spend some time with God. We want the acceleration in our life, but we're not willing to plug into the source so that we can have that acceleration in our life. Fasting shows God that you seek him over food and the flesh. Lord, I seek you today more than the stupid show that's not going to get me to heaven. Right? Lord, I'm going to watch this football game on Monday night. I watch it every single Monday. But Lord, you know, I'm going to fast Monday night football and I'll just get the scores on Tuesday morning. Because I think spending time with you, Lord, will put me in the end zone for eternity. Just trying to be real. I know some of you are going, I ain't going to give up my football. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to give a lot, but in order to get something, you got to do something different than what you've always been doing. I'm preaching to myself on this. Praying clears your mind and allows you to place focus on Jesus. Think about Jesus and Moses and the disciples and Elijah. They all had a life of fasting and prayer, which always brought results. See, when you fast and pray, you become more focused on the spiritual realm and the distractions in your life tend to leave you. If you want God's results, do what God does. That's simple. Just be blunt with you. Jesus went and fasted. Jesus went and prayed. Jesus got results. We don't want to fast. We don't want to pray. We don't want to do the things of God. Then guess what? We're not going to get the results that God had. And then we complain, well, God, it ain't working. I spent 30 seconds praying in between the line that the food would be here quick. If you want what God, the godly results, you got to do what he does. He gave you his son Jesus as the example of what to do and what not to do. Sure, Jesus probably didn't want to build furniture, but he did. Jesus probably wanted to go hang around with some of his buds that were 30 years old, but he chose something different, a different path. Jesus could have went to the bar and hung out, got drunk, but he chose not to. He would rather be in the synagogue teaching than being doing something else with his friends, playing out in the street or playing stickball. I mean, I could see it. He was willing to sacrifice something at a small age to have a reward that was eternal. He was willing to spend as much time as he could to be in the presence of God Almighty because he knew there was acceleration about to take place. 3 years, his ministry took off like a rocket ship. Because he was in the glory of God. Now I thought about something, about these 12 disciples. And one of them ended up being a liar. One ended up selling Jesus out for a few shekels of silver. And I looked at these 12 disciples' lives and I discounted the one, although Jesus didn't. And then left them with 11. And I thought about the 11 that spent time with Jesus in the glory. And then I thought about Paul. Paul did more than those 11 combined. And he never got to meet Jesus. Except when he was on the little Damascus road there. He never got to meet him in the flesh. He didn't get to pal around with Jesus and hang around and pray with him and fall asleep at his feet. But Paul knew how to tap into the glory of God. He was more sold out than any of the 12. Now they were sold out, but he was sold out. I mean, I look at Paul and say, wow, you wrote like two-thirds of the New Testament. And yes, the disciples did a lot of great things and they were with Jesus. How much more or less would have they done if they didn't be with Jesus? Didn't they get their butt kicked one time when they tried to cast out some demons and it wouldn't flee? But yet it said all disease, all demons, all unclean spirits, they would cast them out, but they couldn't. Why? Because sometimes they got in unbelief. They got out of the glory of God. And when you get out of what God's glory is, guess what happens? Things happen to you. You get beat up. That's why I tell you to get into the secret place of the Most High. Why? Because there's an acceleration that takes place in your life. See, the greater the glory in your life, quicker things happen. That's why I've been saying it week after week after week after week. This is starting to drill into your head a little bit. The more the glory that I'm in all the time, faster things happen. I want to get in His glory faster. Why? Because I want to see 3,000 people in the church. See, God is raising people up like you and I that are going to make an impact. But He got to get us prepared to be used by God. That's why you need to fast a little bit. That's why you need to be in prayer. That's why you need to be in the Word. Why? Because God's going to use you in a mighty way. It's not going to be me bringing all the people. It's going to be y'all bringing all the people. Why? Because they're going to see something different in our lives. They're going to be drawn to, what are you doing? What? How did you? And you're going to point to God. They're going to see that you have glory in your life, even during the tests and the trials. Well, you lost a loved one. I'm really sorry for you. Yeah, but they're in heaven. Yeah, I'm sad that they're not with me today, but I'm going to cope because I got someone who's coping it with me. I'm not alone. I'm in the glory of God. And He's accelerating that pain and hurt out of my life so I can continue now to be successful and do what I need to do for the kingdom. He uses those that make themselves available for His use without you getting any personal gain. See, many ministers I know, they want that personal gain. They want to have that big ministry, the big name, and the millions of dollars flowing in their own personal bank account. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I didn't know the gospel was for sale. I thought it was free. It was a gift. And when I get a gift, I didn't pay for that gift. Amen. It was freely given to me. There's no limit in the glory of God. Anything can and will happen when you're in the glory. Whatever has been on a long time frame can get condensed to seconds. We have to be focused on being one of those sought out because of the glory of God in our life. The glory of God brings deliverance and sets people free. When you step into the arena of meeting with people, guess what? There can be a change in your life just by the presence of God that's on your life. You've been in the glory. When Moses was in the glory of God, he looked different when he came off the mountain. The worship that you do will place you into His glory and to His presence. If you're not worshiping God on a daily basis, then it's harder for you to enter in to the glory and the presence of God. Amen? Well, Pastor, I don't need that praise and worship. Yeah, I know, you've just been arguing with your wife all the way here, so you know that's why you're late, and then. The glory of God comes and falls upon you when you're in worship. Why? Because you let things go. You let the day's troubles go and the people's comments and their ridiculous things they want, and you just go, God, I just want to be in your presence. All of it starts to melt away. And then the glory comes and His presence comes and your life, you start feeling better and you leave church, wow, man, I feel good today. I came in sick and not feeling well, my sinus in my head, but I walked out healed, whole and complete. See, the glory brings power in your life. And God wants you to have the right power. Not the power to grind people down, but to help people up. People want what you have. That's the thing. You have the missing ingredient. You have the golden ticket to the chocolate factory. Amen. Better than a Willy Wonka at the end when he wins the whole prize because he was the honorable kid. You get eternity with Jesus. And God wants you to pull what's in heaven and bring it down on earth. Because we did all agree that if I were to walk in heaven with sickness and disease, it would be healed instantly. Why? Because you're in the glory. Well, why can't we have the glory on the earth? You can make that happen. You have at your disposal legions of angels. Use them every day. Stay in the secret place of the Most High. Every day. When we fast and pray, we can break through into the glory realm at an accelerated pace. We got to try that maybe this week. Maybe that should be like a goal this week. Is maybe fast something and then take that time when we fast that show or whatever that was, or maybe we're going to go to the movies, amen, and see something, you know, that was a couple. Maybe we could just go and spend 2 hours in a room that's dark and just pray to God. Not for 5 minutes. Then fall asleep for 2 hours. We can stay in that movie awake. We can't stay that long with Jesus. Isn't that they did in the garden? Jesus came back and they were sleeping. We should be about fasting and praying and accelerating things in our lives. God knows we want it now. I want my house paid. I want my debts paid. Well, how do I get there? Getting in His glory. God wants you so blessed that people will talk about you. How did you become so blessed? When you get called up by Oprah Winfrey, amen, she says, how did you get so blessed? Well, how did you get healed? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Not this new age person, but a guy who's been around for over 2,000 plus years. They're going to say, what's different about you? I've been in His glory. I've been in the presence of the Lord. That's what you see different about me. That's why you see me the way I act. Well, because I've been in the glory. Yeah, but they just spat on you and they just talked mean things about you. I'm in the glory. I'm accelerated past those problems. Amen? Remember that people want to experience Jesus every day. All you got to lead them into how to get into the glory of God. Become a person that God wants you to be. Soak in His glory and bask in His presence throughout the week. Spend some alone time with Him. See, because what happens is this. The more you spend time with God, and the more that you come every Sunday, you bring that glory with you until it fills this place to overflowing. It's easy to minister in the glory. It's easy to receive healing and word and acknowledgement and discernment when you're in the glory of God. Pastor, don't have to work hard. You don't have to be pulling on my anointing. You're pulling on the glory of God. I'm going to buy this CD myself. It's so good, I'll tell you. See, I want to help you understand that God didn't make it hard. All He had was the Holy Spirit. Then He spoke. He used vocal cords. He spoke it into existence. But His words He spoke were faith-filled words. His words were not of doubt and unbelief, but of faith and not a hope in that it's going to happen, but they were words of faith that He believed when He spoke it, it would happen. The Bible says, when you believe, that you receive right now. But follow the process. Amen? Get into His glory. Speak His word. Speak what you desire and believe it. Have faith behind it. Let there be light. Guess what? There will be light. Lord, I don't know about this situation or what decision I need to make, but let me tell you, I've been asking God, let there be light on it. Show me. Guide me. Direct me. Help me. I want to stay in His glory so that I can be just led by His glory. It's the glory we seek after. His presence. The Holy Spirit. Why? Because He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He's going to be there to comfort you. There's not a mountain too big that you can't speak to and make it look like a molehill. God will give you a strategy. God will give you a word. God will give you a direction to do. All you got to do is listen and do. Amen? Be a doer of His word, not a hearer only. There's a whole bunch of churches full of hearers, but no doers. There's a whole bunch of churches that have 10,000 people and only about 10% doing the work. They all heard the same word, but only 10% went to do the word. Those are probably the same 10% that are given 10%. Those are probably the same 10% that do whatever God tells them to do and they're willing to pray and fast and sacrifice and do what they need to do. Just trying to help you. Just 10%. The millionaires on the top are only probably about 10% of what the world is. Small number, 10%. See, when we get into the glory of God, things are accelerated. And when things are accelerated, life really begins to be fun. Amen? Watch your kids heal. Watch your friends get set free. Watch your friends get delivered and growing the church body to something large. When you walk into a community and they start to call upon your name because you have the answer, and they've tried everything else that man came up with, but now they have a God idea that you brought to them. And it works. You break the cycle of the poverty. You break the poverty mindset because you bring the Word of God that changes that. Well, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. And you got the same result. Try it God's way. You're going to have a God result. God's Word never comes back void. God's Word always comes back fulfilled. But when you're into glory, He'll give you the Word. He'll tell you where to be. and how to do what he's asked you to do. And it'll be effortless. I didn't say painless. I didn't say without sacrifice. But it will be, quote, quote, effortless, because you're doing it in the Spirit of God. Amen? Did you get anything this morning? Did you get anything? Are you all sitting there kind of like, are you going to pass out or something? Just basking, right? Lord, I ask you to bless your people. Everything they put their hands to this week, it's going to prosper and it's going to grow. Lord, whatever they've been seeking, as they get in your presence, Lord, as they get into the glory zone, you'll share with them all the secrets of the Father. You'll give them strategies and give them ideas, and you'll give them directions and thought processes to work through to make them successful in everything they put their hands to. That, Lord God, they'll call upon your warrior angels, Lord God, while they're in your presence, Lord, and they're in your glory, and they'll be encamped around them so no sickness nor disease nor foul thing can touch them. Let us call upon our legions of angels to surround us and surround our lives and be a blessing in those that we come in contact with. Lord God, let people find us to be the one with the true answer. Let us be the ones, Lord God, they find to know God, the true God, Jesus, our Messiah, our Yeshua. Let them know that we're connected to the source for eternity. Let them see what we have, Lord God, they need. Let them know when the storms come, how we react different than the world reacts, because we have the peace to calm every storm. We have the Prince of Peace that lives and resides inside of us. We're connected, we're family, we're kinfolk, we're the same DNA. Father, bless your people. Everything they put their hands to will prosper, and everything they put their hands to will grow, and they're blessed coming in, and they're even more blessed when they go out. Let them go out and be about your word, your plans, and your purposes. And Lord, as we dismiss from this place, let us get serious about being in the glory zone. Let us be serious about being the church and not talking about the church. Let us be those that are active and enlisted in your army. For Lord God, you've given us every weapon for warfare. You've given us every strategic plan to have the victory. We've read the book at the end. It says, I win. So Lord God, I'm coming into battle as the winner. We'll not be defeated by any foe. Lord, bless your people. Let them walk in the glory of God today, tomorrow, and into the future. Let them bring it back into this house so our lives can be enriched with what God's been doing for them. Touch them. Bless them. Lord, I release your anointing upon them. I release your peace upon them. I release your glory and your love and your compassion and your joy upon your people this morning. We pray this in the name of our soon coming King, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.